good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Cody Cup, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade, which means distant thunder. We talk about local and national Native news and events, and as you know, Wendy, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Alliant Energy, powering beyond.
Awesome. Hey, we have a young warrior on, and she is not on her camera yet, so I'll add her on here, and there she is. We have our manager of Native Roots Trading Post on, and also just extraordinaire person, young person, and we just wanted to spend some time with Misko. Misko, please introduce yourself in a good way.
Bonjour, my name is Misko Gimiwan. Bonjour, Ndinaway Maganiduk, Misko Gimiwan, Dijnakaz, Makwa Ndo Dame, Waswaganeg Ndunjaba. Hello, my relatives. My name is Misko Gimiwan. I'm Bear Clan from Lac de Flambeau, Wisconsin. And I said I'm very happy to be here today. Miigwech, thanks for listening.
We're really blessed to have Misko on board with us, aren't we, Wendy?
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
And you do other things too. And I know you're a young person going back to college. You're teaching the language, you're working at the Indian Center. Can you talk a little bit about what a day looks like for you, young warrior?
Yeah, so usually around this time, I'd be in school. So I started off at Augsburg University, but I took a year off. So I completed 2 years there, and then I took a year off because, transitioning from COVID times into going back into school is really difficult for me. And so taking this year off, I feel like it was very much needed. And it also kind of gave me perspective on what I want to do after college. And so currently I work at the shop down downtown with Pilot at Native Roots Trading Post. I'm the manager there. And I'm there almost every day when the shop is open. And then I also work at the American Indian Center in their Culture, Language, Arts Network department. And there I'm the intern coordinator. And so I do projects with 10 different college students in terms of revitalizing the Dakota or the Anishinaabe language. That's what I do at the Indian Center. I also help with any programming that's going on there, such as drum and dances, powwows, family fun nights, where we have physical language and arts activities going on. And then I also work at the Indai Young Youth Shelter, where we take in kids ages 7 to 17. And yeah, it's pretty cool. I'm getting a lot of well-rounded experience with my culture and, just becoming a young person into our community and learning how to take on these roles.
Yeah, you really are. And it's kind of, you're mirroring too a lot of what we're doing here. I know you guys have a podcast too. Do you want to talk a little bit on that? I think we had the same person on who not only worked at Ende Young, but also was lived there too, like yourself.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy meeting a bunch of people in our community or who come from our community, is because there's a lot of similarities in our backgrounds. So like you said, when I was, way younger as a kid, I stayed at Indai Young, but now I'm actually working there. I went through some of their programs, like the chemical dependency prevention program. And that encouraged me to, learn my language, learn my histories, and get involved in the community. And so, yeah, at the Indian Center, we're also running a podcast, which is just a temporary kind of like event or activity that we're doing, because we normally do drum and dances. But, you know, since COVID hit, or, you know, and we have more restrictions, we've had to go on virtual to do virtual things. And so doing a podcast to showcase different artists, different, you know, language carriers, culture bearers, we bring them on to, you know, like inspire the youth, inspire families. And a lot of our activities are aimed towards families here in the metro area. And so we have local people, as well as people, you know, who are from, you know, we have chefs and everything who are from all around to just share their good story and to encourage the people, you know, to aim higher. You know, we come from these backgrounds, but we don't have to stay here. You know, we can, mm-hmm. we can dream and we can make those dreams come true.
Right. And you had Bobby Wilson on, right?
Who worked? And we also had a Gary Farmer, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we have different like language people, chefs, artists, actors, basketball players. And so, I don't know, we just try to make it a little diverse so kids can see, you know, natives can be successful in any area that we choose.
Did you have a problem with Bobby swearing? Because we had to beep him out a couple times on Native Roots Radio.
Yeah, we told them, you know, this is a family podcast. You know, there's kids watching, but it slips out, man.
Misko, tell our audience how old you are, if you don't mind.
Oh, yeah, I'm 20 years old. I'm about to be 21 in April, but, yeah, I graduated high school in 2019. And, yeah, I have two more years of college left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, it's great, too, that you're going back. And because when you get a degree as a Native person, you can write your own ticket in the community. And you're very sought after. So I'm really, really happy that you're going back. And, you know.
Misko, do you have any idea or feeling about what you want to do in the future, or what kind of thing gives you passion?
Yeah, so originally I went into college wanting to do education, because throughout my high school career, I started learning more of my culture and getting into youth programs, you know, such as Indayang, where I learned about chemical dependency prevention, as well as like ceremonial practices. And then I also worked on the Dream of Wild Health farm, where I learned my culture, where I learned language, and where I learned how about food sovereignty and how to sustain yourself. And so from all of that, and also learning how to dance and then teaching others, I, you know, realized I had a passion for, you know, my culture, learning who I am and passing that on to the next generation, because I've been always told, you know, the mentors in our community kept saying, you guys are the next one to carry this. You guys are the next one to put on these events. And so I took that in, and I really, you know, thought about it over the years, and I was like, man, that's really something I want to do. And so I thought becoming a language instructor was something I really want to do, and that is something I really want to do. But going into education, I don't think that's something that really resonated with me, because I'd rather learn my culture, my histories, and pass it on that way. And so I went from elementary education as my major into film.
Yeah.
And American Indian Studies, because, you know, I want to learn who I am, and I want to learn how I can teach others about that. And there's different ways that you can, you know, share your messages, such as like this radio show. You know, we're talking about current news, we're talking about things that have happened, and also, you know, highlighting people who are actually doing the hard work out there. And so for me right now, I'm kind of like want to be an artist. And then I kind of just want to, you know, have experience in different things. And so I'm working in the community, doing as best as I can. And, you know, working here, I'm just like, man, a degree would really help me in further doing what I'm doing now. If that makes sense. So film is my major, but I want to get into so many things, as well as owning my own business one day.
Yeah, well, we only got about 10 seconds. You can hang around for our next interview and check that out. But what I want to say is that I'll let you talk about your TikTok. How can we find you on TikTok? Because you have great videos on TikTok.
Yeah, so all of my social medias are at Misko Gimiwan, MISKOGIHMIIWAN. That's my first name. Stands for Red Rain. But yeah.
All right. We'll be right back. Thanks, Misko. Stay with us.
We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Aho, relatives. My name is George McCauley, Omaha Nation. I'm a citizen of the Omaha Nation in Nebraska. As we head into wintertime, many of us will be back together indoors. It's important to make sure you receive your COVID booster shot. Older Americans are more at risk for complications for COVID-19. All three COVID vaccine boosters have been approved. Find a vaccine site by calling 651-304-9986 or go to vaccineconnector.mn.gov.
If the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. 1 is too many. Don't stand by. Stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence and shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Children's Minnesota raises up children's health by raising the standards, hands, voices, the bar, the stakes, the questions, and the curtain on raising kids' health to the highest priority. With the most pediatric experts in the Upper Midwest, we're setting the stage because kids need us, all of us. So let's raise them up so every kid can reach their best health. Children's Minnesota, the kid experts.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Awesome. So it's Tuesday. We're getting back in the roll of things. Wendy's back in town. And what do we usually do on Tuesdays, Wendy?
We talk to Nancy Bolio.
Bemidji 350. Welcome, Nancy. How's it going? Great to hear from you. Our numbers, our viewers always go up when you're on. So thank you for being on Native Roots Radio.
Robert, I really appreciate, you know, people wanting to listen to the truth and figuring out ways how we can show up. And here in northern Minnesota, it's feeling like spring, and that's what's feeling good. So I'm feeling good, and I'm even feeling better because on this Friday, we are going to have a Native community leadership gathering at the Bemidji 350 office here in Bemidji, Minnesota, where we're surrounded by the Red Lake, White Earth, and the Leech Lake Tribal Reservation. And our goal, Robert, is to build community around treaty obligations. And because Native people have been leading the movement, it was in our best interest to draw upon all of these Native leaders that have been fighting Line 3 and, you know, mines and all the good stuff, or the bad stuff, I should say, showing up with the good trouble. We're going to meet Friday, and we're going to discuss what the future is going to be in relationship to treaty partnership.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to build a foundation on Friday. We're going to open up with a welcome. Grandma Mary Lyons is going to be there to speak. Adrian Liberty is going to do the creation story. And then we're going to bring to the table our skills, our resources, and our fierceness from all these leaders, and we're going to build a foundation. And the foundation is based around our work here in northern Minnesota through Minnesota 350 Treaty Campaign and the action that we took last summer at the Treaty People Gathering in Waubun, Minnesota. Then from 3 days together, we went occupied the Line 3 easement out towards the LaSalle State Park. So that was chapter one, and we showed the world what it looks like to stand as treaty people and to honor those in a good way. So now we're going to continue the good work with the guidance of our elders and create a community here in northern Minnesota through Land Back. And in that community, we're going to call on more Native relatives and our allies to come in and help build on that foundation that the Native community leadership, that foundation that we're going to talk about Friday. So on spring solstice will be our next gathering, and that's when we call them on more relatives and our allies to come in and help build on that foundation together. And mm-hmm. we're going to engage in healing. We're going to engage in cultural sharing, food sovereignty, all kinds of good things. And we're going to show this community here in the 1855 Treaty Authority what it looks like to coexist as treaty partners. And we're going to teach our relatives and our allies, because we got allies that are left behind too because of classism, you know. But we don't want to forget about anyone, because in our world, we're all related and we all, you know, care for each other. So absolutely. We're excited about getting that going.
Nancy, so somebody like in Chicago or Milwaukee or Madison or even the Twin Cities starts listening to our show, can you talk a little bit more specifically about the treaty and what treaties, how they work, and why they are the supreme law, and maybe a little bit about the 1855 treaty too?
Well, sure. You know, treaties are, you know, a lot of people don't understand that treaties, they're all of ours. Our ancestors, our Native ancestors, signed them with their ancestors, and this country gained its sovereignty by signing treaties with our tribes throughout Turtle Island and various different points in history. But through those treaty signing, we never, ever, not once, surrendered our sovereignty or our self-determination. Or when we look at ceded land, ceded means we gave up the title, but we still have the treaty right to hunt, fish, gather, and occupy. And people are like, well, what do you mean by occupy? Well, like out to Camp Firelight, those 8 days that we held the easement on Line 3, that was an occupation. It wasn't a No Line 3 protest camp. It was an occupation for 1855 Treaty Authority. So what's really important is this is a shared history, and it's not talked about in our history books. So the misconception is they're only the Native people treaties and they don't exist anymore and we don't have an obligation. That was my great-great-grandpa and his grandpa that did all that, but it's not us. It's not our fault. But the thing is, Robert, if their house or their business is on this land to this on the current day, today, they are still benefiting from the treaty that their ancestors signed with our ancestors. And again, those treaties are very much alive, and there's in perpetuity obligations, meaning they have a responsibility to be good neighbors under the treaty. And remember, a treaty is a two-party contract, so they have to realize that those in perpetuity obligations are still current. And just because many past administrations, even current administration, fails to recognize Treaty Article 6 of the United States Constitution, which states treaties are supreme law of the land, it seems like they want to uphold the Constitution but to exclude Article 6. So the work in the spaces we're holding right now is to remind them, to educate them, to build awareness, to build healthy relationships around those treaty obligations.
Yeah, that's Wendy, do you have any questions about that? That's pretty...
It is. It's a lot to take in. And, you know, being a layman here on treaties, you explained it really well. So I really appreciate it, Nancy, as always.
You know, and that's the goal, just to, you know, in layman's term, explain it. Because if you look at each and every individual treaty, there's a lot of language that can be confusing for people. So, but, you know, people are just too busy to really educate themselves on one treaty to the next. They just have to know that treaties intended for us to live in peace, to leave the earth in a better way than we found it, and that natives signed those treaties to protect our way of life. And, you know, we're here, and we're here in a good way, and I think, you know, as we move forward into the future, we're going to continue to assert our treaties in a good way, in a healing kind of way, in a building awareness, teachable kind of way. And I have some exciting news, you know, with our work at the Native People's Caucus of the Minnesota DFL, Robert.
Whoa. I don't know if we should wait for the second segment to get into that, but
I think we should.
So we got a couple minutes here. What I want to just maybe switch gears a second, and I know we're all praying for the country that's being occupied by Russia.
Ukraine.
Yeah, but we have parallels, and it's hard and different for us natives to watch this too because of our history and how we were colonized by the Europeans.
Oh, Robert, you bring up such a good point. And honestly, I had to leave the world of Facebook just to break away from that, because in the world of news, because I seen how, you know, when a white population is under attack, how the rest of the world, the rest of the white people went to their aid when the Ukrainians said this is an invasion, it's genocide. And we've been screaming that for 500 years. Mm-hmm. And don't get me wrong, you know, I feel for the Ukrainians, and I actually think they're courageous for what they're doing. But then again, I had to just tune myself out from all that, because I really had to think about the world that we're living in, Robert. And we need justice as well, and we need land back. We need a lot of good things. We need those treaty relationships to be meaningful. And, you know, it's disheartening to know that we live in a country where, you know, they just can't see what they've done to us and that we still exist. But that's why we feel good about this work, Robert, because we're going to show up in a powerful way through our land back kind of way, our treaties. And so, I think they should start paying attention to what they've done to the Native people in their own country here.
Yeah, I agree. And it's really... And again, like you said, not to take away what's going on there. It's heartbreaking to see in living color in real time. But I also just want to bring up, too, that, like you said, we've been fighting this colonization for over 500 years here. And we feel you, Ukraine. So, that's pretty much, you know, what I got for you. Well, why don't we take a break and get back to some other things, and maybe we'll have Misko ask you a question too. And so we're with Nancy Bolio, Bemidji 350, Wendy, and getting some information on treaties as we do, and talking a little Ukraine, and we're going to be talking some more with Nancy.
Mm-hmm. Looking forward to it. Stay with us.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
We'll be back. Stay with us. Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a five-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me one. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
Hello, it's Randy Rhodes, Team Randy. Glad to be a part of the lineup of Progressive Voices on AM 950. Tune in, join us weeknights at 10.
Hi, this is Ken Hagland, host of Living Healthy and Aging Well, where we talk about your health and enjoying your highest quality of life. Join me this Saturday with my guest, Jetta Wiedemeyer-Bauer from Trellis, and she will be talking about the services of the Senior Linkage Line with over 40,000 resources available statewide to older adults and those who care for them. That's this Saturday, March 5th from noon to 1 on Living Healthy and Aging Well.
Hey, it's Tom. Your home utility costs are rising every year, and the money you pay for utilities is a sunk cost you'll never get back. It's basically just paying rent for energy. But what if you could turn those utility bills into an investment that saves you money? All Energy Solar can do exactly that. A new system from All Energy Solar can start paying for itself the moment the system is powered up. It can pay back 100% of the installation cost, typically within 8 to 12 years. Plus, All Energy Solar has some affordable financing options. And even if you have to take out a loan to finance your installation, you'll still save money in the long run. The loan payment will likely be less than what you would pay for electricity every month, and it's a locked-in price that won't change. So stop renting your energy from the utility company and start saving with All Energy Solar. Book your appointment today at allenergysolar.com. That's allenergysolar.com.
Hi, I'm Scott Chambliot from Chambliot Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, shame-free dental office. If you're having a dental emergency, we'll try and get you in the same day you call because we don't like to see anyone in pain. And we'll help you get through every appointment in the most pain-free way possible. As my daughter Rachel says,
if you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth because they're the only ones you get.
Chambliot Family Dentistry in Hopkins and St. Paul. Find them online at ChambliotFamilyDentistry.com or call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lulia. Snow and freezing drizzle possible overnight with a low of 26. That all gives way to cloudy skies on Wednesday with a high of 35.
Skip the hassle of appliance replacement. Warner Stellion makes it simple. And through Monday, save $50 to $500 on each qualifying appliance. You could save over $3,700 with stacked savings you can't get elsewhere. Shop our 10 Minnesota stores or at WarnerStellion.com.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Peeny Geeky. Hey, we're here with Nancy Bolio, Bemidji 350, and also with our young warrior, Misko. And welcome back, Nancy. And Misko, you have a really valid question. I don't mind if you jump on and ask a question.
Yeah, so for Nancy, I was just wondering what are ways that young people can get involved or learn more to prepare to take on this work as they get older?
Robert, did I lose you?
Can you hear me, Nancy?
I can hear you now, but I couldn't hear nothing before.
Oh, you couldn't hear Misko. Oh, interesting. She wants to know how young people can get involved. She's a younger person, and she wants to know how they can get involved and what they can do, and then also how they can learn more about and take on this work, too.
Well, that is a great question, Robert, because actually right now as we speak, our Treaty Alliance gathering, they're in a gathering June 18th through 21st in Nantahawish, Minnesota. And because of COVID and because we really want to get a lot of good work done, it's by invite only, but we still expect up to 400 people there. But one of the things we're talking about there is youth track. We want to get our youth involved. We want them to be, you know, leaders with the knowledge that they need to be powerful and resilient. So I would suggest if there's any youthful people, native people, non-native that really want to learn, but I highly recommend our, you know, if we're on a limited space, to bring in our youth first, our native youth. But sometimes our allies want to learn and we don't want to leave them out neither. So, but anyways, just email me at nancy@mn350.org. That is again, Nancy, N-A-N-C-Y. At mn350.org, and just subject matter that youth involvement, and we'll make sure that we reach out to you and put you on our invite list because we encourage our youth to hold space with us. And that was a great question.
Yeah, it was. So I don't know, can we talk a little bit? I think what's happening now, like tonight, the president's speaking to the country, and we have our own situation here where we're going to really rock the vote native style. And we talk about this all a lot, but I'm really excited that we're going to be doing that again. And one of the things, too, I want to mention, too, to you, Nancy, is when we do rock the vote native style and have our guests in, we are now in Wisconsin and Chicago, too. So we're opening up up that, too, for these either native people running for office or for Native allies.
Right, and I think it's important, you know, not just to register our people to vote, but when they go to the polls, Robert, they have to make informed voting decisions. So I think it's really important that we continue to do that work, Robert, and get our allies, not just our relatives, but our allies that align with our values and give them a space and put them out far and wide. And we encourage, you know, our voters to know who these people are and show up. And what's most important, Robert, and we always forget, voting is not just on November 3rd. There's a primary election, and I think it's in April, but I can't give the exact date right now. That primary election is basically like a runoff election. The top candidates will get onto the November 3rd ballot. So if we have our relatives and our allies running for that main ticket in November 3rd, we need to show up at the polls at the primary election, Robert, and help support those relatives and our non-Native allies. So I think we need to talk about that a little bit more and why and how we make that happen. And I think that's really important. If we want to flip seats or, you know, take back our communities, it's important that, one, we step it up and run for office. Two, learn how to, you know, show up on in civic engagement ways to hold candidates true to their campaign platforms. And I think even after November 3rd, you know, reach out to your local community or Native community leaders. And some of us have that knowledge and how you show up. And I think here in northern Minnesota, our work with you, Robert, we want to be a part of that educational piece to help people show up in a civic kind of way, because if we're not at the table, we are what's being served. And so I think, you know, the exciting news is, Robert, you know, with our work through the Native People's Caucus of the Minnesota DFL, we had the vice chairwoman of the Minnesota DFL leadership, and she sat with us last week. So I expressed to her how we're all treaty people and that I felt it was, you know, a good idea for them to hear the Treaty 101 presentation I give. And she says, oh, Ken Martin. And Ken Martin's the big guy of the DFL party. And I was like, well, let me back up just a little bit. I said, we're all treaty people. And I think not only Ken Martin needs this, you all need it. So she's going back to the leadership and saying, hey, these folks want to do a Treaty 101, and I think it's a great idea. We think it's a great idea. So second piece to that, you know, well, the redistricting happened. Some of the constitutions and bylaws for organizing units. Like here in Beltrami County, we have our Beltrami County organizing unit, and I'm a delegate in that party. I'm the chair of my precinct, and I always have to run to win one of those seats in that leadership. And if we don't have enough relatives showing up to vote for us, 9.9 out of 10 times, we're not going to win one of those seats. But the conversation I brought to the table last week is if there's treaty, our treaty is not just with the federal government. Again, we are all treaty people, and the state and the local governments fall under the federal government, and they all have a responsibility to us. So at each level of government, or each even local organizing unit, we should have a designated place at the table per treaty. So the vice chair is going to bring that conversation back to the DFL party and say, hey, I think these people are seeking a seat at the organizing units. And I think that's powerful, Robert. We really got to start finding meaningful ways to assert ourselves per treaty, because they're not going to, bring a chair for us. We have to bring our own, like Shirley Chisholm said. There's not a chair at the table. Bring a folding chair.
Shirley Chisholm, that's awesome. The first woman and African-American to run for president, and people forget that in 1972. I'm old enough to remember that. So one of the things, too, I want to just give you a shout-out. Two things. You and a couple other organizations up in the deep north in Minnesota registered last time over 9,000 Native Americans that had never voted before. So what do you say to somebody young like Misko, or somebody that's never voted because, you know, they were 16 years old, why it's important to get involved and your vote really does matter? Can you just give us a quick rundown on that?
Right, because, I think my tagline is our vote is our voice. And, there is a voting power, there's a people power, and when they create policies and legislation and all those things that guide the way our world works, if we're not a part of that process, Robert, they're creating legislation that's harmful to us as Native people, to the environment. So if we're going to be a part of the change that's moving forward, we really need to, like I said earlier, step it up and learn ways to show up. And sometimes just going to your local communities and finding out who those people are that can help you, that's really a good way to get started. And that's kind of how I got started, Robert. There was a thing at the coffee shop, come learn how to be a delegate. And I was like, you know what, I'm tired of them not listening. I'm just going to go learn. And because of that, I am now in places I'd never imagined that I would be, and I never imagined I'd be part of voting all those Natives. And, it was a beautiful experience. And, Robert, I know I'm on live air, but I say this in a good way. We hauled ass because our voices matter, and we're going to do it again. We are.
Yep. And then the follow-through, too, I think is really important, especially if we can get our allies elected. It is the follow-up and the follow-through, and I know we've talked about that. The past few years is like to keep our relatives in the straight and narrow and helping us and not just using us for votes.
Correct. And, that's why, I'm telling people it's important if we're going to support these relatives and non-Native allies. First and foremost, let me back up a little bit. Primary elections, November 3rd. But you know what? The work is not done at November 3rd. They have campaign promises like we've seen with the Walz administration, how it failed us. But before they got there on November 3rd, they came out and told us this and told us that, vote for us, we're your voice. That didn't happen. So our work at Minnesota 350 and the Native Peoples Caucus of the Minnesota DFL, we are having those conversations. And what are we going to do to further engage healthy relationships with the candidates that we endorse and support? What does that work look like into the future? And how are you going to help us? And so we have a legislative committee now at the Native Peoples Caucus of the Minnesota DFL just to deal with that, Robert. So they're not going to run off anymore on us. And then at Minnesota 350, we have a new title, and I can't think of it offhand, but that person will also be kind of doing the same thing. So I think it's important, not just within work environments, but how do we as individuals show up for the civic engagement process? And that's why people like myself, Joey Peltier, and Gina, and all kinds of other of our relatives that will come in to do this work with us, we're going to show up in a different way today, or this election, and it's just not about registering and voting, but how do we keep building on that power?
Wow, Nancy, great way to end it. Pini Gigi for being on and all the work you do. Just so proud to partner with you, and I can't wait for us to do Rock the Vote Native style. Thank you so much.
All right, Miigwech, for having me.
Uh-hoo. So, Misko, what did you think of that? Pretty powerful stuff, huh?
Yeah, that was really inspiring. She's, you know, there's many people who paved the way for us to get seats in these places, and just doing background work and educating and letting people know how they can support, you know, it really brings our community forward.
Absolutely. I'm going to ask you to stay on for the next segment, Misko, because we're going to all howl together. So we got to have another person howl with us. So thank you so much for being on. And absolutely thank you for Nancy Bolio for her great words every week, Wendy.
I'm sure she inspires a lot of people to get involved in their local politics and just find out what's going on and you know, show up at the caucuses and be a delegate. I think it's really important. Yeah.
Yeah, we've done it and do it.
Absolutely.
We'll be right back after this short break. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Stay with us.
Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a five-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me, Wen. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
Navigating COVID while protecting yourself can be difficult. Fortunately, there's a hotline you can call with any questions. The Department of Indian Work St. Paul partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. They provide information on vaccines, booster shots, and testing sites. Right now, booster shots are available to anyone over the age of 18 for those who are eligible. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline can also help with housing, food, medical, and educational support. If you or someone you know has questions about COVID-19, vaccinations, booster shots, or testing, please call 651-304-9986. Again, the number is 651-304-9986. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline is open for calls Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
I don't think Misko howled.
Well, we didn't give her the cue.
Do it again, Wendy.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations. That was our first time howling. I know it's intimidating, but that's what we do here every day, Monday through Friday. We howl for Howling for Wolves.
Exactly. Hey, I want to introduce my awesome, beautiful wife, Wendy. Take it away. We talk about our sacred animals here, and Wendy is our sacred animal expert.
Yeah. Hey, everybody. Hi, my name is Hanaji Hihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis, who goes by Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds. So as always, Curtis, thank you for that meaningful name. It really means a lot to me. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level, and it's always my pleasure to work on animal issues. And I have a couple of good, happy events coming up for animals. And if you are an animal advocate and you want to advocate for animals and you like them, even if you don't really like them, you could still help them. One of the events is called a Humane Lobby Day. Now, Humane Lobby Day is sponsored by the Humane Society of the United States, and it takes place at different times of the year all over the United States. So you could, no matter where you are, you can just look up Humane Lobby Day for 2022. And see when this is happening in your area. But here in Minnesota, it's happening on Tuesday, and orientation is happening, which I should say, orientation for this event is happening on Tuesday, March 15th. And it's an orientation webinar. It's from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. And you go on, all you have to do is Google Humane Lobby Day Minnesota. And it comes right up, and you could register for the orientation. And during the orientation, what you'll do is you'll learn about the different things that we're going to be talking to our legislators and representatives about to help animals here in Minnesota. And I've been doing this for years. I can't even tell you. This must be my seventh or eighth Humane Lobby Day, I would guess. I don't know for sure, maybe less or more, but it's about that. So every year what I do is, and last year and this year, because of COVID, they're via Zoom, which I'm really disappointed. I was hoping this year we would be able to meet with our representatives in person, just because it's just more personal and just easier to talk to when they're, you know, when they're sitting right across from you and you're there at the Capitol. It's kind of fun and it gets you, you know, pumped up to talk about animals. But we talk about top animal protection priorities. And in years past, some of the things that we've talked to our legislators about was like a gas chamber bill. You know, so we're actually still talking about that right now. I don't know if we're going to be bringing that up again. It just keeps getting lost in the, you know, as it goes on in the bills. So we don't believe that there are any shelters out there in Minnesota that have gas chambers, but we do want to have a policy that will say we don't want any gas chambers in Minnesota. We want animals to be euthanized in a humane way, and using gas chambers aren't. We've also talked about like humane pet store ordinances, which I talked about many, many times. That would stop the sale of puppies and kittens that are derived from puppy mills and kitten mills. And throughout the years, I've talked about those explicitly and in detail. So we don't want those kind of things to happen.
You've helped shut down some cities and stores. Yeah. That's really important, because most of these stores, pet stores have puppy mill dogs.
And yeah.
It's the worst thing you can do to a bean.
Mm-hmm. It is. Yeah. We have a puppy, Gracie, our Gracie girl here. She's a little white Maltese. She was actually at the vet today, but she's a puppy mill survivor. She was a breeder dog in a facility in Idaho, Iowa, one of the I states. I can't remember which one, but she was in an indoor facility for 7 years. And the attendant there would just walk around and fill her water dish and her automatic water and food bowls. And she really didn't have any, socialization. She never left the cage. She never walked on the grass. She never did anything. So anyway, right. we talk about that. We have had, like Robert said, many cities in Minnesota who have adopted this ordinance. So we want the full Minnesota, the whole state, to adopt this. We've talked about trapping on private property. I mean, if you have a lot of property and you live, let's say, up north or down south, and you have lots and lots of property, and I want to trap animals, I could just go on your property and trap them. I don't need your permission. So we're trying to get a bill that's passed that if I want to trap on your property, I need to ask your permission, which really makes so much sense, doesn't it?
Well, the snares will kill your dog.
Yes, not only, that's what happens.
And that's what happens, that you let your dog out and you don't know these people that are on your property putting snares up, and next thing you know, you're looking for another dog.
Yeah, exactly. So if you're interested, go to Humane Lobby Day Minnesota 2022 and register. You could just go to the orientation and listen to what's happening and how we do it. And if you're interested, then you would do Humane Lobby Day with us. The other one I want to talk about is Howling for Wolves. It's Wolf Day 2022, and it's happening on April 6th, which is a Wednesday. And it's titled Non-Lethal Keep the Packs Intact. And this will happen at the Minnesota State Capitol. Again, it's Howling for Wolves, Wolf Day 2022 on April 6th, which is a Wednesday. Non-lethal, keep the packs intact. So you just have to go to Howling for Wolves or just Google Wolf Day Minnesota 2022. The wolves were just put back on the endangered species list.
Unbelievable.
So we're great. Really, really happy for that. But a lot of wolves in Minnesota and elsewhere get killed illegally as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to really stand up for the wolves and make sure that they are protected even above and beyond what the Endangered Species Act can do. And they are also talking about non-lethal means to help with wolves and cattle. Right. So
yeah.
Even though wolves don't kill many calves or cows in a year, it's very, very small amount. The ranchers really have a big lobbying say. And even if one cow is killed, they really make a big ruckus out of it. And it really, really big deal. So we really, really want to mm-hmm. work with ranchers and to come up with non-lethal ways to help the wolves and the ranchers get together. So these packs of wolves can just stay together and live happily ever after, because even one wolf out of a pack that is killed can be really devastating to the pack. And then they hunt differently. These animals hunt differently. And, it's not good. So that is on April 6th, Wednesday, 2022, Wolf Day. So just Google that and hopefully I'll see you at both events.
Yeah. Wow. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. That is really awesome. Hey, I want to give a shout out to Young Misko for being on and helping us with a couple segments here in Howling.
Yeah.
And of course, Nancy Bolio, and always Wendy Pinigigi for all you do for our relatives.
Mm-hmm.
Our relatives are named after Beans and Wolf Clan, and Peggy Flanagan's part mm-hmm. of the Wolf
and
Clan.
And the Bear Clan, too.
That's right.
Yeah.
If you're listening to the show, you're part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground in which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier. Stop Line 3. Please get vaccinated and boosted.